This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
What's up, preacher man?
Tragedy in D.C. Three shot. We have the details on the Patriot Preacher. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Patriot Preacher, covering the news from a Christian perspective. Welcome to the program. I am Caleb Cockwit, as always, and while I'm always glad to be able to talk to you folks, and I'm glad to be able to speak to you as well this morning, I'm not glad about what I have to talk to you about. This morning, a bunch of members of Congress, both senators and members of the House of Representatives, were at a practice baseball game at the stadium for the Washington Nationals. Now, granted, I didn't know much about this before I saw some of the reporting, but apparently this is just kind of a scrimmage game that they go to. They practice. Some of the members participate in games one against another. And they've been doing this for a really long time, apparently. It's a bipartisan event. They actually raise a lot of money for charity with the Boys and Girls Club, for example. And while the members of our House and Senate are sitting around either practicing or watching the events unfold as they're going on the field, apparently a person, for unknown reasons, has taken it upon himself to grab his rifle, go in, start shooting into the crowd. And unfortunately, there were some casualties in this. Three people have been shot. No one's died, at least not so far, and it doesn't look like anyone's going to based on the injuries that we're seeing. One of the people that was shot was the House of Representatives Majority Whip for the Republican, Steve Scalise. So this is the number three guy in the House of Representatives. And looking at this and looking at this tragedy, we're, of course, praying for him and his family and everybody involved with this. There were a number of elected officials here, and it's a miracle that more people didn't get shot, according to the details. And I'm not just talking about it's a miracle that more elected officials didn't get shot, which I guess technically is also a miracle, but also just that nobody else around them, because there's lots of aides there. A lot of people go there to watch the practice. So it's not just members of our Congress. It's also a lot of people that are there with them. In fact, of the people shot, one was an aide, and one of the other men shot was a police officer who was there defending them when the gunman started shooting. So apparently Steve Scalise was the one that was injured the most badly. He has taken a wound, but he's expected to make a full recovery. Obviously, getting shot like that, though, it's never easy for something like that to happen, and he was losing an awful lot of blood, so they were concerned. Apparently, they were worried about him. He started getting dehydrated, which is pretty common when you're shot and start losing a lot of blood like that. So they got some water into him, and they got him to the medical professionals. So he is wounded, but expected to make a full recovery, and we certainly hope that that is the case. It looks like he's going to be just fine after a few days. They're going to be able to help him out with that. Our very own Mo Brooks, and by the way, we have made contact with Mo Brooks' office, but he was making the media rounds this morning because he was right there. So we were not able to get in touch with Mo Brooks. He still has our number. There's a chance that he could still call in, but I've seen him on about three different news stations this morning already, so he's probably going to be mostly with the national press, even though he's from Alabama, since he was right there and so close to it. We were able to get Senator Luther Strange. He's said that he will call in hopefully before the 10 o'clock hour. We just got contact from him. So we're looking forward to having Senator Strange on. Be sure to stay tuned to hear his take on this. When it comes to Mo Brooks, there were several things that he brought up this morning. We'll get into that in just a second. One of the first questions that a lot of people are going to start asking, and it makes sense because after a tragedy like this, everybody's scrambling to try to make heads or tails of this. What happened? Who caused it? Why would they do something like this? Which is logical. With this, some people are suggesting that it could be a terrorist attack, maybe ISIS or Al-Qaeda, the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, that is certainly possible, but I don't think so. And here's why. Typically, when you're dealing with ISIS, the Muslim Brotherhood, they just want to kill infidels and don't really much care who it is. And so what's typical in those attacks is you'll see them attacking crowded places with normal people. Airports, malls, nightclubs, some kind of public space where there's a lot of people in a small area. And we've seen this is pretty consistent over some time. It's not that they never try to take out political figures, but it's not really their MO. It's not what they're known for. If I had to guess, this would probably be somebody more along the lines of the time the last member of the House of Representatives was shot, Gabrielle Giffords. And so this is probably just some political nut that, you know, maybe he's a fanatic and just doesn't like Washington, or maybe because a lot of the people there were Republicans, he doesn't like Republicans. We're really not sure at this point. It's a little too early to tell or to make a judgment on that, but a lot of people are suggesting right now that it could be terrorism, could be ISIS. I'm not saying it can't be. I'm not trying to rule that out, but just looking at the details of what has happened and what we know so far, it just does not seem that that would be them. Maybe it's connected. Maybe it's an ISIS-inspired person. We don't know. But it seems to me far more likely that this is unconnected to Islamic extremism. And you guys know that I usually am pretty early to call that, because most of the attacks that happen where the rest of the media is trying to tell you, oh, it's not Muslim extremism, 9 times out of 10, I say, yeah, this kind of does look like it, and then usually I'm right. But this, I don't think so. I just don't believe it doesn't fit the details. It doesn't fit the stereotypical Muslim extremist attack. So I don't think that this is, you could certainly say that this is terrorism in a way. It is a political killing to drum up fear in people. But it doesn't seem that that's it. So we're going to be looking at that and looking at the details as they break, trying to make heads and tails of this tragedy. You know, really hate to see something like this. It's an attack on us as Americans. And it just, the setting, yes, it was high profile targets, members of the House. But here's the thing. They're people just like us. They're people in the middle of the summer going to play baseball and watch a baseball game. Which, I mean, is about the most American setting you can get, so. An attack on one of us is an attack on all of us. And that's why this is hard to report on. We'll be back.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
The name of the Lord, says the scripture, is a strong tower. Thither the righteous flee and are safe. Let us secure his favor, and he will lead us through the journey of this life and, at length, receive us to a better. Samuel Adams.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Patriot Preacher on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com. 860-1440 are the numbers if you want to call in, ask some questions, talk about this. Mo Brooks, our very own Mo Brooks from the state of Alabama, was apparently right by the victim when he was shot, Steve Scalise. And according to his story, again, we weren't able to get him. He's making the media rounds right now. But according to what he was saying this morning on the different news outlets, including our news partners at CNN, he was right there by the victim, and apparently he was starting to bleed, and Mo Brooks, being there, was able to use his belt as a tourniquet to try to keep him from losing more blood than he did, which it's interesting to see all of this, that when this tragic event took place, that you see Mo Brooks, who, you know, doesn't really have any experience in things like this, I'm sure, is coming up and even becoming one of the heroes of the story. I'm sure that he did not plan on doing something like that when he woke up this morning. And according to his recount of what was going on, he said, then one of our guys, after the shooting started, and by one of our guys, it was either, I assume, security. Well, I think this one was actually a Capitol security, so a Capitol City police officer, started returning fire with a pistol. Now, granted, they're a long ways away when this happens, and trying to hit somebody with a pistol from quite a distance, as I can tell you, is a lot harder, especially when your opponent has a rifle. So you're much less, you're very unlikely to hit somebody, but the fact that the officer had a pistol there and started firing, and the shooter heard that, stopped the shooting. Probably what happened is, once he heard someone start firing back, he started taking cover, which, you know, obviously you can't shoot when you're taking cover like that. So it appears as though this officer really did probably save quite a few lives by firing back. And of course, he eventually got shot as well. But him shooting out there in the direction of the shooter caused him to take cover before he was shot. Now, this is according to Mo Brooks, and he was right there beside him. He said that he was firing a rifle and had a lot of ammo. According to him, it seems like he had shot about 50 rounds. So this guy obviously had quite a bit of ammo on him. Probably, you know, even if it was a high-capacity magazine, probably, or in this case, I suppose it probably would have been a clip, probably several clips of ammo. So I don't know how far in advance this was planned, if it was a spur of the moment thing, but it does seem like this guy was prepared. So So shot about 50 times. And an interesting part of the story is that Brad Winstrip, he's a representative from Ohio. You know, the thing about him, and this is one of the things that I wanted to bring out in the story, I don't know if Representative Winstrip is a Democrat or Republican. I was prepping, trying to get people on the air this morning, so I didn't have time to check. But here's the thing, doesn't matter. When stuff like this happens, really doesn't matter who has a D and an R behind their name. They're all just people trying to help each other out. And that's, you know, a great part of the story as far as I can tell. Anyway, Brad Winstrip is a physician, and he was able to tend the wound. So we're lucky that there was a doctor there. Dr. Rand Paul was also there, of course, the senator from Kentucky. But he was apparently way back on the third baseline, so nowhere near where this happened. Apparently this happened pretty close to home plate. So for whatever reason, Rand Paul was not nearby. There were apparently a lot of people there, and he was not near enough to help administer aid to Steve Scalise. But Brad Winstrip was. He was there. He was able to tell them how to treat the wound. And there's a good chance that the combined help of Brad Winstrip and Mo Brooks may have saved Steve Scalise from bleeding out. Now, we don't know that. We'll have to see the details. But either way, they made the injury far less severe than it would have been if he had not had that help. So a kudos to Mo Brooks and Dr. Brad Winstrip for helping out with this, tending the wound before medical personnel were able to arrive. Big shout out to thank them. Let's go to John from Millbrook on line one. We've got a caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to, let's time this and see how long it takes before the gun antagonist blame it on that.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it's already on Twitter, but yeah, I know what you're meaning.
It's sad that it's that way. A tragedy's happened, and everybody ought to be behind this terrible situation, and no matter what the motives are, it's a bad reason no matter what it is, so as to why this took place, but it's sad to me that probably this will be used for political gain and a teaching point for those that are gun antagonists.
You know, you're probably right, and I typically try to take it this way, and I think I mentioned this right after the Manchester bombing. This is just a personal rule of mine. Can we just, after something like this happens, wait about 48 hours before we start bringing in politics or using it for political gain? Because I think that at least 48 hours. Now, luckily, in this particular situation, no one was killed, which is good. But at the same time, can we just wait a couple days before we start trying to use things for political fodder?
Guys, I think I don't know exactly something I had not heard of until a few minutes ago. They had a hearing on gun control that was scheduled for today, and they canceled that.
Are you talking about the silencer?
It was just the said gun control. I saw it on CNN a minute ago.
Okay, it could be, and I could be wrong on this. There was a law that was coming out that was supposed to be voted on today that dealt with silencers. In fact, I was thinking about covering it today. Obviously, that's not going to happen now. But there was a bill that came out about legalizing or getting rid of the tax on silencers. And that may be what they're talking about there.
And they say they will not be voting on anything today.
All right. What were you saying beforehand? What was on your mind?
No, that's all. I mean, I just wanted to make that point and appreciate the topic that you're covering. Something like this that's important to all of us, no matter as Americans, when the people that make our laws are being attacked, and that's like all of us being attacked, no matter what the as you said, the D or the R behind the name.
Right. That's also a situation. You know, we should view it. Granted, these are lawmakers and it's a high profile target, but at the same time, I think the way that we should view it as, yes, Steve Scalise and his aide and the police officer, this may be a story that gets a lot of media coverage, but they're Americans. And we should take this as an attack on our country, regardless of who they are.
It's very symbolic, certainly, and we'll probably find out some kind of motives from the person that did this, and we'll be able to analyze that at the time, but it is an attack against our system and our freedom to be able to move around peaceably. And when our leadership is attacked like that, it is against us all.
Yeah. So, thank you so much for your call. We got to go to a break here in just a second. We're up against a hard break, but there's a line that this made me think of. For those of you who don't know, if you've ever seen a military flag folding ceremony, each fold actually has a meaning. And there's one of the folds that states in the text there that right or wrong, she is still our country. So even if we disagree with the people there, they're still our representatives. They still represent America, and they were still elected by our citizens. So our prayers and thoughts go with the Scalise family and also the officer involved. We'll be back.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
Matthew 22:37-40. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets."
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to the Patriot Preacher on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com. We do have Mike on hold, but we're going to go to him in just a second. I wanted to give – there's a press conference going on right now with the Alexandria Police Department. I wanted to give you a quick update on that. Apparently, there are more people injured than previously reported. So far, the only ones we knew about were the officer, the aide, and the congressman himself. But it looks like the toll now is at 5 injured. That has been reported and confirmed, so we have at least 5 injured. There is a possibility that that could increase over time, but it looks like there were at least 5 people down at the scene. Another thing that was important that they brought up is neither the Capitol Police nor the Alexandria Police Department is going to be pursuing this investigation because federal law dictates that because one of the people injured was a federal officer, that of course being the representative, then the FBI will now take over the investigation. So they're still going to be vigilant. They're still going to be looking for the shooter, but the FBI is in charge of everything from this point on. So important to know, important to understand how this is going to proceed going forward. We do have a press conference from the chief, Matthew Verdosa, of the Capitol Police. Doesn't look like there's anything new that we have yet to report, but if we do see something, we will get to you as quickly as possible. Let's go to Mike on line one. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Morning. Yeah, I was kind of shocked to hear that this morning. I thought maybe I was still dreaming or something, you know. But this is what it's come down to, I think, because my understanding is the shooter asked people, who is that on the field? Were they Republicans or Democrats? And then started shooting. That's the understanding. Now, I could be wrong on that. It's just sort of deteriorated. You know, you've got the Democrats doing all these hearings on nothing, basically. I watched the Sessions testimony yesterday. It's just deteriorated more and more. And so where I'm not laying blame on any one person, I do think that the leftists in this country have sort of brought this to this point. And so something needs to be done. Something needs to go to the Democrats or the leftists in the party and tell them that they need to do something soon to stop this. This is what is coming
down to. Well, now, Mike, I do appreciate you commenting and bringing this to my attention, because I had heard that that it was possible they came in and asked who, whether they were Republicans or Democrats. I had not heard that confirmed yet. Was that from a mainstream news source?
I was watching Fox.
Okay,
and
good.
It was one of the correspondents there was talking about it.
Okay, good. Then we can pretty much confirm that. Then thank you for bringing that to my attention, Mike. But I did want to ask this: what exactly, in your opinion, should the Democrats be doing to prevent this? Because I honestly don't see how anybody, Republican or Democrat, could have prevented something like this.
I'm not sure how they could prevent it, but they can rein in some of their members. You know, I mean, I watch C-SPAN a lot. I mean, basically for lack of something else better to watch, but. You know, if you watch the House and the Senate, you can see some of their members just going out there and just throwing out accusations that are not based in any fact at all. And they're accusing the president, they're accusing members of Congress, and then, of course, the media picks it up like it's a fact, and they run with it. And so this is what I'm talking about.
And I'm not arguing with you on that, because goodness knows I spend an awful lot of my time talking about the Democrats when they get things wrong or when they're lying about things.
Well,
but at the same time, I don't see how that's connected to this.
I think in some way there's got to be it's all this rhetoric and it's all this. Intense rhetoric.
This is exactly the same.
People, I'm sorry?
But Mike, this is exactly the same thing they tried to do with Gabrielle Giffords. They tried to make this guy out to be some radical Republican that was attacking Giffords because she was a Democrat and he was a conservative that hated Democrats. Of course,
right.
We found out that he was just a crazy stalker and was actually incredibly liberal. But at the same time,
right.
They
took on, I forgot who it was,
Palin.
That was running for office, that had the little... what was it? They had the little
Governor Palin had crosshairs on there on a map,
and they went after her. And mm-hmm. This is the kind of thing I'm talking about, you know. And what it does is it's kind of deteriorates the conversation, and then other people and I think this guy's probably a wacko anyway, whether he's a Democrat or a Republican. And I don't really want to get into his. Nobody knows, but they, you know, I'm saying. There are people out there that will take that up as a badge of honor to go out and kill a Republican or a Democrat or whatever. And the media eggs them on, and the Democrats egg them on. And so I think that people need to just kind of chill out and take that and just kind of dial it back.
Okay, now on that, I will have to say that I agree with you on that, Mike. Thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. I do think that we can take this as an opportunity to take a step back, do some self-reflection, whether you're Republican, Democrat, whatever, and really observe your rhetoric and see if there is, you know, maybe a way that you can talk about these issues more graciously or in a more a calmer manner. But I think that we can do that at any point. Maybe this is just one of those momentum moments that allows us to really take a step back and take a breath. But I did want to say this. I don't think that you can blame an attack like this on the media, as wrong as they often are, on the Democrats or the Republicans, as wrong as they often are. So whether or not, here's the thing. If you're a kid and you hit somebody and your excuse was, well, they were yelling at me. Well, that's not good. That's not a justification for them yelling at you. But you don't hit somebody in response to that. And so I think we have to be very, very cautious in this, that we don't start blaming either one side or the other, or blaming the media or the rhetoric or whatever it is, and saying that that's what caused blank, that that's what caused this person to go crazy and start shooting people, because this guy was probably just a lone nutcase. That would be my guess. I don't know that for sure, but that's what it looks to be. I think it's going to wind up being something pretty similar to Gabrielle Giffords, that it's just some random nut bar that doesn't know what else to do with his life. So I think we got to be real cautious when we start assigning blame to one side or the other. Wanted to bring this up, kind of switching gears here. According to the testimony of those involved, including Senator Jeff Flake and Representative Mo Brooks, they had a couple of Capitol Police officers that were there that were really the only defense, because while these are definitely high-profile targets, it's not like this is a major media event or anything. This isn't something they do for publicity per se. Now, the game is, but this wasn't a game. This was practice. So there's just a bunch of aides, senators, House representatives standing around there watching what's going on the field, and also some of them participating as well. So there were only a couple of Capitol Police officers that were really the only defense. Now, those being interviewed are praising police, and they should, because the police officers are what kept them safe, is what doing they were doing their job. So I wanted to bring this up. The police officers are doing their job, running into danger, whether it's a congressman or some random civilian. So that being said, they're doing the job whether you're a congressman or just a regular civilian on the street. If it's just me or Joe hanging out, going to a Biscuits game, or whether it's your representative Steve Scalise and you have Capitol Police officers guarding you because you're a member of the House at this baseball game, police officers are doing their job, and we don't say it enough. Thank you for all the work that you guys do running into danger to protect people that you may not know, or may not even, maybe you do know and you don't even like, but you do it because it's what you promised to do. It's what you took an oath to do. And we appreciate that, everywhere from right here in Montgomery, Alabama, all the way up to DC.
Exactly.
All right. So it looks like we've got somebody on the hotline. I don't recognize the name, but
it's Senator Strange.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I just couldn't read the writing. It is dark in here. All right. We've got Senator Strange on the hotline. So I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to go straight to Senator Strange as soon as we come back from a break, because we are up against a break. So let's go ahead and take that now. We'll be right back.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. George Washington.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to The Patriot Preacher on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com. And we do have a special guest on the line with us right now. Joining us via the hotline, we have Senator Luther Strange. Good morning.
Good morning, Caleb. How are you doing?
It's excellent. I haven't talked to you since right after you moved to the Senate, and I've got to say, I do wish that we were meeting under better circumstances.
I do, too. I hate to be calling you under these conditions. I look forward to talking to you again, because there's an awful lot going on in Washington, but I'm really pleased that the damage wasn't worse this morning than it was, and I know how you feel about law enforcement and first responders, and having been Attorney General, I couldn't be prouder of the security detail that went into action and avoided a much greater tragedy than than we're witnessing now.
Absolutely. There's no telling how many people, because according to Representative Brooks, apparently this guy had quite a bit of ammo. There's no telling how much damage he could have done if there hadn't been the police officers and other security there.
Absolutely. It looks like they're going to be okay. They were both injured, but their prompt response was unbelievable. And that's just what you expect from men and women in law enforcement. I had a staff meeting to make sure our staff understood, you know, the need to be careful and that we have a great security plan here in our office. But I remind them to thank a police officer when you see one, because it could happen anywhere at any time in the world we live in, unfortunately.
Amen. And they just, they're doing their jobs. But I did want to ask you, were you actually there present at the ball game?
I was not. One of my staff members was on the mound at the time and was right in the middle of it. And I've been on the phone with him and with his parents to reassure them he's okay. Thanks to the quick response, he was avoided being shot. But, I mean, he was right smack in the middle of it. So I got that call from him at 7:15 this morning. And so then, you know, right before even responders had reached the scene. So it was quite a scary morning this morning.
All right. So obviously you're familiar with the event in question, the practice, and then the game that comes mm-hmm. later. Tell us a little bit about that, about the venue.
Well, the venue is the stadium over in the Navy Yard. It's a quite a big deal. It's been going on since early 1900s, a charity baseball game between the Republicans and the Democrats, and it's all for charity. It's a great way to bring people together and get them out of the contentious political environment for a few minutes and have a sports tends to do that, you know, brings people together. And so this was a practice for the game. The game was scheduled for tomorrow night. I don't know whether it's still on, to be honest with you. I'm sure they're evaluating that. But this was a practice session, and, you know, the members took time to get up early in the morning and go over to Alexandria, Virginia. And I've been to this ballpark where they were practicing this morning many times, and I've been to the YMCA that you're seeing on the news next to it many times. So it's close to – it hits home. This could happen in any community, anywhere.
Now, I know you haven't been in D.C. as long as some of your colleagues there, but did you have any dealings with Steve Scalise? How well do you know him? If there's anything you can tell us about him, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I know him only by reputation. We've crossed paths in meetings, but I haven't dealt with him directly much yet, Caleb. He's a very well-respected person, and the fact that he's in the leadership and he's out there early in the morning with his colleagues getting ready to play in a charity baseball game says a lot about his character. I'm so glad that he's apparently in surgery, but it looks like he's going to be okay, which is such good news.
Yeah, it's really a miracle that we didn't have someone killed or someone injured mm-hmm. worse than they do. It looks like he's going to make a full recovery. I wanted to ask you about this, because obviously this is going to hurt Americans all over the country that are going to be feeling the effects of this, feel like our country was under attack. What's the general feel in D.C.? Because, I mean, that had to hit close to home with somebody actually a member of Congress being hit like that.
It does. I mean, I think people I've already talked to several of my colleagues. They're all checking on one another. It'll probably prompt a review of the way we handle security here. As Attorney General, you know, I was the subject of a lot of threats, and so I was provided with a security detail, our great state troopers and a protective detail. So I've lived under those circumstances. You know, now in Congress, the average member of Congress doesn't have any kind of security. They don't have any drivers or anything. They just are like normal citizens. And I like that. You know, it's great. My message to my team was, look, we live in America. We're in a free society. You know, we cannot let unhinged people or terrorists dictate the way we live our lives, but it would be prudent to look at the way we handle security. And these things like this morning, a potential soft target with a lot of members in one location, you know, if you were a terrorist or if you were deranged, it would be a natural spot for you to want to hang out.
Would you consider this an act of terrorism? Because we've been talking about that, the causes of it, what maybe the motivations were. What would be your take on this, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, I don't know, Caleb. With my law enforcement background, I just hate to speculate or jump to conclusions.
That's fair.
We just don't know. I just have not. I'm waiting for that report, and I think we ought to wait for the FBI to tell us exactly what this person was, who he was, and what his background was, and if they can determine what his motivation was.
Right. The fact that the FBI is on it right now does put me in a sense of ease. Hopefully they'll be able to. Now, there's no reports yet of the shooter actually being taken into custody. Am I correct in that?
No, I think he is in custody and is in the hospital. I don't know whether he's what the state of his injuries are, but he is definitely in custody.
Okay, good to hear.
He's in custody, so there's no longer an active threat. The schools in the area were put on lockdown. The whole plan, first responder, you know, active shooter plan went into place in that community. And I've talked to some friends in that community. So now that's been lifted. So I think they have the person responsible. Now we got to find out what his motivation was. Was he acting alone? You know, all the other things they need to know.
Right. So that's the next step, I take it.
Mm-hmm. That's the next step. And we haven't been briefed yet by the sergeant at arms who's in charge of all Capitol security. But I'm certain that before the end of the day, we'll get a full debriefing on everything they can tell us. In the meantime, as you point out, the security on the Capitol, I'm sure, will be very tight, you know, and probably on a heightened alert just given this incident.
Which is good. You know, you hate for something like this to happen anywhere, and anybody being shot like that that's just an innocent bystander is a tragedy. But at mm-hmm. the same time, not saying that it's good that it happened in D.C., but the fact that it happened in D.C. does mean, as kind of a side effect, that these people have a plan in place for something like this when it does happen, and that is encouraging.
It's very encouraging, and again, I don't think we can say enough about the conduct of the detail that was there. I'm just so thankful that they were there. The two security officers were there, and they engaged the shooter and neutralized him, and that saved. I'm confident that saved a lot of lives today.
Absolutely. Have you spoken to anybody that actually was present that described the scene to you?
I just talked to my chief, my staff member who was there, and, you know, he just basically described, you know, a gunman coming onto the field and pulling out a gun and opening fire. And, you can imagine being in that situation. It's very harrowing. People took cover. The security detail returned, engaged the person, and then we know five people were shot, including the shooter. So Congressman Scalise, the security detail, that was two officers, and then one other person who was there, who I don't know who that was. I think it was a staff person. They all look like they're going to survive their wounds, except for the shooter. I don't know what his condition is. But the victims look like they're going to recover, which is a huge blessing, and that's what we're praying for.
Well, now, on a personal note, also because I respect life, even if it is somebody that's not a good person per se, I really hope that the shooter does live so that he can face justice.
Absolutely. We need to know what his motivation was. We need to know why he did this. Was he working with someone else? There's a lot of questions unanswered, so and that would help us get to the bottom of it. So he will definitely face justice.
Well, I do say, and I appreciate the fact that you, being a former attorney general yourself, you try to stay away from speculation on something like this, that you want to wait until we have some details to come out, and that's certainly what we're going to do here.
Well, I appreciate it, Caleb. Thanks for covering this, and thanks for all you do for our law enforcement folks, too. They need the encouragement.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Senator Luther Strange, former attorney general of the state of Alabama, we certainly appreciate the work that you're doing in D.C. Oh, was that it? Okay, I guess he disconnected, but that's fine. We're running out of time anyway. Yeah, certainly appreciate Senator Strange coming on. You heard it straight from him. One of his own staffers was actually on the mound when this happened. So we appreciate him coming on, giving a statement for us. Just pray for all those involved, including the shooter himself. Hopefully that everybody will pull through, and it looks like everybody's going to. We'll be right back.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour two of the Patriot Preacher is on. You know, even the pros make mistakes every now and then.
I'm looking at you. You're looking at me, and I'm thinking, I don't...
Well, no, see, what happened is I didn't hear my teaser opener, and so I heard dead air. I thought that somehow our headphones had cut off. I didn't realize the mic was on.
So, okay. Well, yeah, so,
No, that's all right. That's okay.
None of us are perfect.
It happens. But I did want to say this before we got started or moved on to something else. Greatly, greatly appreciate the senator coming on, giving us some time. I appreciate him, you know, lending that to us, especially considering that he knew people involved with the shooting. Apparently one of his staffers was actually on the mound when this happened during the practice game that they were doing there. So greatly appreciate him coming on, and hopefully we'll have him back on because, of course, he is up for election here in just a little bit. And we also invited Mo Brooks on for that. Mo Brooks, unfortunately, was busy, couldn't make it this morning. So we appreciate everybody being willing to help us out with this, and hopefully this event will bring people together, bring this country together, because, like I said in the first hour, when something like this comes out, the D's and the R's behind everybody's name, they wind up just not mattering. We're going to go ahead and cover, I think we're actually going to switch gears here. Sorry about that. I was coming up with a tease in the middle of the heat of all that. You know, we do have other stories to cover, and we will take any calls for the rest of the morning if you want to talk about the shooting that took place. So even though I'm going to change subjects here for the rest of the show, if someone wants to talk about that, bring in a different angle, you're perfectly welcome to do that. 860-1440 are the numbers if you want to. And keep in mind that we also have those tickets to the Decades Rewind, which, by the way, keep in mind, Mike, you've already called in, so if you want to have your name put in the hat, you can call in, get in touch with my producer, give him your information, and we'll try to get those tickets to you. So if you do want to call in, we do have that promotion. But anybody that wants to call in for the rest of the show to talk about the shooting is fine. Unfortunately, we've given you about all the news that we have right now because it's still in the very early stages of this, which does also mean that there's just not that much information yet. So if we hear anything, we will certainly let you know. We've got the news feed pulled up here, so any new information, you're going to get it here first, just as fast as the other guys. So be sure to listen in for that. In the meantime, though, I did want to talk a little bit about the Sessions hearing that we were having the other day. The truth is, there's really not that much to report. And I wish that there was more of a story here to talk to you about, but the truth is, if I did a full report and talked to you about what Jeff Sessions was talking about, it would mostly just be a repeat of yesterday's show. So there was so little news in this hearing, and I think that that's in part because, really, this hearing, I'm not saying that it should have not happened, but it certainly shouldn't have happened in the high-profile way that it did, because again, the media made a bigger deal out of it than it should have. They didn't make nearly as big a deal about it as the Comey hearing. But my point in all of this is, when it comes to the session hearing, there's not that much news to report. There's just not that much new information. There's two things that I thought did stick out, and that's it. The first one is the big question of that alleged third meeting with the Russians at the Mayflower Hotel back in April, which, granted, if it happened, it's a big deal, just because that one may have actually been a meeting that took place not in his official capacity as a senator. It would have probably taken place as a representative of the campaign and would have been off the books. However, this question was something that leaked out of the Comey closed-door testimony, which is illegal. That's why it's called a closed-door testimony. So whoever senator, staff member, page, whatever, somebody's leaking that information, and they shouldn't. As much as I would have liked to have that information, and as a member of the media and just a curious person myself, I like to have that information, but at the same time, I understand that there's a reason that testimony was closed door. And I really don't appreciate people leaking information to the press, to the public, that is specifically supposed to be, because as much as I want to know, the security of our country comes first. And so I don't like the fact that this question is even on the table just because of the way or where it came from and the way that we got it. But now that it's out in the open, I have to talk about it. So that being said, even Comey, during that same testimony, apparently said that he may have met. So Comey didn't know. He was just saying that that's a possibility. And that's all that he would say on it. unsurprising. My guess is the reason that this was classified is because that was an angle that they were looking into with their investigation. And that's probably the reason that it was classified is because it's an ongoing investigation. And that's probably the reason that he wasn't able to talk about it in the regular briefing that we all covered and heard. Now, Sessions did answer that allegation. He said, if any brief interaction occurred in passing with the Russian ambassador during that reception, I do not remember it. So he's saying at this event that he went to, Sessions was there, the Russian ambassador was there, but if I ran into him or said something to him or whatever, then I don't remember it. Now, there are probably Democrats out there that are convinced that he was blinking in Morse code across the room trying to send messages to Putin through the ambassador, but that's pretty unlikely. And so they're making up. Apparently, if Jeff Sessions is just within 200 yards of anybody from Russia, they are convinced that somehow he's communicating with the Russians and getting messages from Trump to Putin. So this was much ado about nothing. And Sessions even said, I don't know, maybe I ran into the guy grabbing the last piece of bacon-wrapped shrimp. But the point is, I'd never actually met with him. Again, this would have been like that first meeting that they were alleging was a big deal, where he briefly ran into him at the GOP convention. But even then, he said he only spoke to him briefly, and it's a room filled with crowded with people. Which, if you're going to pass some kind of super secret information, that's not the place to do it. So even if there was some interaction, and Jeff Sessions is saying, if there was, I don't even remember it. Even if that happened, it certainly would have not have been a venue where he could have passed that information along. So, Ben Shapiro, I thought, put it quite succinctly the other day, writer for The Daily Wire. He said, if you've ever had any dealings with Jeff Sessions, the guy's basically Huckleberry Hound, and they're trying to make him out to be some kind of secret Russian operative passing notes to Boris and Natasha in the dead of the night. So, I don't think there was anything to this. There was one other thing that came out in that testimony the other day. We're going to talk about that when we come back.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Patriot Preacher on News Radio 1440 and the News Radio 1440 app. 860-1440 are the numbers, and like I said, I will be taking calls for anybody that wants to talk about the shooting this morning. We spent the entire first hour on it. We were starting to run out of details, but if anybody wants to call in and talk about what's going on, feel free to do so. If your dad won $4,000 to upgrade his favorite spot at home, where would it be? Would you buy a huge TV? Would you upgrade his basement man cave? Get the biggest grill ever? Upgrade all his lawn care equipment? Lots of options there. But if you want to do that, you want to find out, enter today at newsradio1440.com to our Top Pop contest, and you could give your dad the best Father's Day ever. Be sure to check that out. Also, we've got the Biscuits Grand Reopening Weekend, where we will be featuring on Thursday the Human Cannonball. Friday, we've got heavyweight champ Deontay Wilder. Saturday includes a huge block party featuring Curtis Blow and fireworks. And don't forget, on Sunday, we've got Superhero Night, June the 25th. Free admission to any child under 12 wearing a youth sports or association uniform. So lots going on in the capital city that we have to do, but I did want to bring up, there is a news alert. The suspect in the shooting attack has been identified. This is via CNN, our news partners there at CNN. Law enforcement has identified the shooter as James Hodkinson of Belleville, Illinois, according to federal law enforcement sources. Hodkinson is 66. The shooter's injuries are described as serious, according to a law enforcement source. So he's probably, seems like based on that, the worst off of all five of the people that are injured.
I wonder what the connection is. Hey, Belleville, Illinois is right across from St. Louis, I believe. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. You know more about that than I do. I don't know much about that part of the country.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. And, of course, nothing rings a bell as far as why somebody from Belleville, Illinois, would be in D.C. I guess he planned, maybe he just planned it and took a trip to D.C.
Yeah, that's the thing. Either this guy was just on vacation or maybe, I don't know, was in D.C. for business, or this was premeditated and planned. Looking at the guy, again, doesn't fit the M.O. of a terrorist. He's a little bit older. Usually these guys are a lot younger, and, you know, they'll no sign of him being connected to any terrorist organization. So it looks like that was not the case. Again, like I predicted, it appears, could be wrong, we still have details coming out, but it appears as though this guy was just some lone crazy person, and this it's possible that this was premeditated.
Didn't you say, or didn't they say that he was well armed? I mean, like he
pretty well armed, yeah.
I mean, he didn't just on the spur of the moment.
It seems as though that was the case, so based on what we're saying. I'm hesitant to say for sure, but that's appears to be what was going on here. Now, prior to entering surgery, the whip was in good spirits talking about the shooting victim there, Steve Scully. So prior to his surgery, he was in good spirits, spoke to his wife by the phone. The statement said he is grateful for the brave actions of the U.S. Capitol Police, the first responders, and his colleagues that helped him out there. So apparently that is the latest from CNN that before he entered surgery, the representative there that was shot, Steve Scalise, he was apparently feeling as good as anybody that had just been shot can feel. He was doing all right because of the quick actions of the first responders, not only the police officers, but of course the medics that showed up and his colleague who was a doctor there. It looks like he avoided any severe injury and he was up and talking to his wife before he entered surgery.
Oh, good, because it came to mind. You remember when Reagan was shot?
Right. He said, I was actually thinking about that.
Tell Nancy I forgot to duck.
My favorite Reagan line, and I know that this is slightly off topic, but my favorite Reagan line in that whole story is when, before he goes into surgery, he says, I sure hope all of you are Republicans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's funny, too.
The man had a wit about him. You have to admit that, but that is good. It sounds like he's going to be fine. The shooter's injuries apparently are a little more serious than that.
Oh.
But, yeah, it's hard to feel real sorry for
him. But I like
that.
What Senator Strange said, and I think you've said it too, that we hope he survives the shooter just so he can be brought to justice.
Right, exactly. And not only that he can face justice, but also on top of that we can, through that system, get an idea of his motivation, you know, try to make some sense of this in a chaotic situation. So that's the latest. Again, we will try to keep you up to date as often as possible when this stuff trickles in. We're in that early stage of a story like this because this just happened at about right before 8 o'clock this morning. I think the whole event started at 7:15. The story really started breaking about 7:30, 8 o'clock. So this is a fairly new story. Still lots of info that we do not have. So as it trickles in, we will keep you up to date, make sure that you know what's going on. Now back to the story we were talking about right before the break happened. The other thing that I talked about before we went to a break is that there were two big things that were actual new information that came out in the Sessions testimony. One was the big question of that third meeting that happened at the Mayflower Hotel. Jeff Sessions is saying that meeting never happened. That was just an allegation that nobody was able to prove or had any information on. He says, if I ran into the guy at some point, I don't even remember it. The second is that Attorney General Sessions, I'm still getting used to that. I'm used to saying Senator Sessions. Attorney General Sessions claimed that his recusal was one due to the Justice Department rules. Now, this particular rule says that if you are involved with a campaign, you are not allowed to be in the investigation, involved in that investigation in any way into that campaign. So he was essentially an advisor to the campaign. So when this came about, he discovered that, oh, there's this rule that I actually can't be involved in this investigation. Now, according to him, he also instructed subordinates not to tell him anything about the investigation beyond what he needed to know to decide whether a recusal was necessary or not. Like I said, this is consistent with what we know about Jeff Sessions. The guy is almost freakishly paranoid about breaking rules. And so he went to the nth degree to tell his staffers, you don't tell me anything about the investigation except if I need it to know whether or not I should recuse myself. So not only did he not comment on it and not get involved in the actual investigative part, he didn't even want to know about it. So that's what we're seeing out of Sessions so far based on his testimony. And when it comes to the rule that we're talking about here, it states very plainly that any Department of Justice official can't be involved in that investigation if they served as a campaign advisor. Now, to be fair, and there were people that were bringing this out, and I thought that it was a fair point, that does contradict what he said during his confirmation. Because you'll remember during his confirmation, he said that I'm not aware of a rule that would cause me to recuse myself, because they ask when he was going in, and this was a fair question. I don't think there was anything wrong with asking this when he was being confirmed to be the attorney general. Would you recuse yourself in a matter involving an investigation into the Clinton the Trump campaign? And he said, well, I'm not aware of a rule that would cause me to do that. Now, let's unpack that. Keep in mind, he was not the attorney general when he said that. He was in the hearings to be the attorney general, but he was a senator at the time. So it is possible that he was being honest on both occasions. It is possible the reason he decided to recuse himself is because he found out about this rule after the fact and that he did not know about it during his confirmation hearing. That is possible. Maybe in those couple weeks between him becoming the attorney general and recusing himself, he's looking into it. And because he wasn't the attorney general, maybe he just wasn't all that aware of the rules when it came to the Department of Justice. We don't know that for sure, but it's not as though this is a blatant contradiction. It is possible that he didn't learn about that rule until later. But, you know, we don't know. It's a fair point to be brought out, and it does seem like maybe, you know, he was contradicting himself, but at the same time, both of these statements actually can be true. And until we find a good reason to assume that they are not both true, we should treat them as though they are. So he recused himself not long after his swearing in. That is possible. We'll be back with more on this in just a second. 860-1440 are the numbers if you want to weigh in. In the shade, strumming with the rhythm that the
drivers made. The people passing by, they would stop. This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
A watchful eye must be kept on ourselves, lest, while we're building ideal monuments of renown and bliss here, we neglect to have our names enrolled in the annals of heaven. James Madison.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Patriot Preacher on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com. 860-1440 are the numbers if you want to call in. Let us know what you're thinking. Now, we are getting an update on the shooter. It looks as though Donald Trump, the president of the United States, of course, is about to deliver a statement. We're trying to get the coverage of that pulled up right now. Looks like I've got it right here. So he has not started yet. So we're just kind of right now in the holding pattern, waiting for the president to begin his speech amidst a myriad of Wendy's ads. So just kind of hoping that that can wrap up real quickly. All right, well, the podium is empty for the time being, so once coverage actually does start, we will go to the coverage. In the meantime, I wanted to bring this up since we were talking about the Sessions hearing yesterday. My new favorite senator is Ron Wyden, and here's why. The guy is a cartoon character. In fact, now I'm serious.
Which one? Which cartoon character?
That's a good question. It could be the question. And I mean that...
The answer is Ron White. The question is...
No, the question is a detective from DC Comics, and he's a cartoon.
Dick Tracy?
He's kind of in the line of Dick Tracy. He's uber paranoid and thinks that everything's connected. He's a big conspiracy theorist, and that's why I connected him with that. So I apologize for confusing you there. But we saw this guy. He's the representative from the senator from Oregon. during the Comey testimony, I was sitting there thinking, seriously, an entire state elected this guy? Could not believe my eyes watching this guy and thinking somehow an entire state thought, yeah, this would be one of the two guys we want to represent us. But anyway, the moment between him and Sessions got pretty heated. During the Comey testimony, he was just flinging out baseless conspiracy theories left and right. And it got to the point to where you could tell Comey was even pretty confused about what was going on, because he didn't even understand the line of questioning, and Wyden was throwing out things that even he had not heard of at that point. So it really doesn't make any sense. Wyden's just, oh, wait. Sorry to break this up, but it looks like we have the president. He is stepping up to the podium right now. It looks like he just started his statement.
We're having a few technical difficulties, but that's going to be resolved pretty quick.
Okay, good. I'm watching it over here.
Difficulties.
The thing is, I'm watching it over here on my screen, but I really can't, like, there's no audio so far.
Well, we had the CNN link. We had it, and they were having, it looked like some problems with CNN.
Yeah, I'm tempted to just hold the speaker to my laptop up to my mic and just play through it that way, because he is talking now and it looks like we're missing a part of it. But hold on, it looks like we may be getting it.
We sort of have it and we don't. It's just somehow it just won't connect.
All right, so it's loading now. We will have it in a second. The president, of course, talking about the shooting that happened at the practice baseball game this morning, if you're just now joining us. So what happened is there was a shooter. He came to this baseball game that a lot of senators and representatives are at. It's a charity event that they're doing, and he fires into them, winds up shooting one of the representatives. Five people, including the shooter, were injured. So we are expecting the president. He's actually speaking right now. We're trying to go to that coverage if at all possible. So can we go ahead and – oh, okay.
It seems like we're – well, no, we don't.
This is the most god-awful banner ad in the world, okay? I come in here to help, and this banner is like making me go through a tutorial on how to duct tape.
That's our – oh, the mic just came off.
Yeah, that's – in case you're wondering, that's our program director.
That's our program director, and his name is Joe also.
Right. We're trying to get this fixed.
I'm off the hook. It's not my fault.
Joe trying to clear his name there. All right, so
connect here. Everything?
Let's see what we – we're okay. Can I get some closed captioning up in here so I can see what the president is saying?
I guess I'm just going to have to – do we have like a lavalier mic or something?
I don't know. I kind of wish that we did.
Close mine so see if I can connect or connect the mic back.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So, yeah, we're kind of in the holding pattern. You know, technology, it's a wonderful thing, but it doesn't always work. So we're working on
wonderful
that right
thing,
now.
Wonderful thing, except when it's not.
Right. Oh, wait. Here we go. We've got it. This is the president.
A challenging job with incredible skill, and their sacrifice makes possible. We also commend the brave first responders from Alexandria Police, Fire and Rescue, who rushed to the scene. Everyone on that field is a public servant. Our courageous police, our congressional aides, who work so tirelessly behind the scenes with enormous devotion, and our dedicated members of Congress who represent our people. We may have our differences, but we do well in times like these to remember that everyone who serves in our nation's capital is here because, above all, they love our country. We can all agree that we are blessed to be Americans, that our children deserve to grow up in a nation of safety and peace, and that we are strongest when we are unified, and when we work together for the common good. Please take a moment today to cherish those you love, and always remember those who serve and keep us safe. God bless them all. God bless you. And God bless America. Thank you.
All right, that's the president giving his official statement in reaction to all of this. You know, we certainly reflect Donald Trump's sentiments on that, that we would like to thank our brave first responders, the people that are out there keeping us safe every day. You know, the thing about this is when something like this happens and it's brought to the forefront, it gets put in the spotlight. And because of that, we're always very quick to, at that moment, be really thankful for the work that they do, the time that they put in, their willingness to sacrifice and give of themselves in exchange for the safety and protection of other people. But we probably don't do that quite enough. And it's not just the first responders that are right there. It's not just the law enforcement officials that protected him. It's also the paramedics that were able to respond very quickly, the Alexandria police or the local police department that were able to go in there, the FBI, the federal law enforcement people that are going to be investigating this and making sure that everything's on the up and up, looking into this matter. So there's so many moving parts and quite a few people to thank on this. And we certainly do send our thoughts and prayers to the folks in Washington and greatly appreciate the first responders that were able to keep the loss of life at zero, it seems, at least for this particular occasion, and keep the casualties to a minimum. There's no telling how big of a disaster this could have been were it not for the police officers and the other first responders there. Let's go to Small Claims on line one. Good morning, Small.
Good morning. I just want to say, Judge Moore for Senate, Of the world.
Well, it's not really what we're talking about. Did you have anything that was on topic this morning?
Well, you just brought on Luther Strange and promoted him like you contributed to his campaign fund.
Small, I asked Mo Brooks on as well, and he's running against the senator, so...
So the topic is the shooting in Washington?
Yes.
Is that what you... Okay, well...
We didn't even mention the election all morning.
Well, you brought Trump on, and of course, you against Trump, and now it appears you against Judge Moore. Why are you against Judge Moore?
All right, I'll see you later, Small.
Oh, I know that.
I'll see you later, Small. I've invited Judge Moore on. I've been in contact with his communications people. I'm good friends with some of the people that are close to Moore. I haven't decided yet. In fact, I talked very positively about him on the Senate. I don't have to prove myself to anybody.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter who we are for or against. Look, give everybody an equal chance.
I'm going to be quite honest with you, because I tried to have Mo Brooks on because he was there. I tried to have Luther Strange on because he was there. I wasn't going to have Judge Moore on to talk about this because he wasn't in Washington. Has nothing to do with the Senate. I just wanted to get somebody that was there in Congress. I mean, for goodness sake, Luther Strange, one of his staffers, was on the mound. So that had nothing to do with the election. I just wanted to get somebody that was connected to the story.
And I've heard Caleb right here in this studio, not on the air, of course, but maybe even between breaks, talking and to people from Judge Moore's office and trying to make it easy to get him on and being polite.
Right, and Moore has actually been very accommodating. He hasn't come on yet, but his staff has already talked about us. He's already promised us an interview. I'm not against Roy Moore. You know, if anything, I've been more supportive of him than most. When the corruption case came out, I took Moore's side on that.
But the thing is with this, with Luther Strange, this was not at all a campaign stop, so to speak.
No, and that's the thing. This had nothing to do with, and I'm sorry, we've kind of taken the show off the rails here a little bit. Small, thanks for that.
We got a break.
Appreciate the call, but goodness knows, we got to, you know, that's actually the problem that a lot of people are going to make. That's the issue that I take with what happens in a tragedy like this, is that you've got people that are so dead set, laser focused on politics, they can't take a break from it for even a second. They can't take a step back, look at what's practical, why people would do anything. He was convinced that I had some kind of political motivation for covering a shooting. Look, we're better than that as a country. We're better than that as people. Not everything has to be around the next election. And because our country has focused on what's going to happen in the next election. That is the reason our country is in the problems that it's in right now. We have to look further than that.
Kind of reminds me almost of some people are going to bring race into everything and not
same
not
kind
that,
of thing.
Not that this is racial, but so, yeah.
You don't have to see, that's the thing, you don't have to see absolutely everything through a racial lens. You don't have to see absolutely everything through a political lens. There are some stories that should be above politics, and people getting shot is one of them. Obviously, you're going to have politics enter into it, unfortunately, because that may have been the motivation here, and it was a politician that was shot. But let's not make absolutely everything about politics, and even if we are going to talk about the politics of it, let's at least wait 48 hours. I don't think that's too much to ask. All right, we'll be back. Star Spangled Sermon is next.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Welcome back. Star Spangled Sermon is on, right here on the Patriot Preacher on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com. We kind of ran out of time, so I did want to mention our good friends at Southside Firestone Tire and Auto Center. We've been pretty busy, but I wanted to talk to them right before the Star Spangled Sermon, because the truth is, if you're having car trouble, if there's something that you need to have done with your car, they're the place to go to. Been in business here in the River Region for 50 years. I was telling y'all this story just the other day. Went in to get an oil change, so not exactly major engine repair, just a little thing, but that's the thing. They can take care of the little things or the big things. And I go in there, have a friendly conversation. I had just come back from lunch, and I still had my cup with ice in it in my cup holder. They got me out so fast, when I got out, my ice hadn't melted yet. That's how fast they can change the oil there. It's like breaking the speed of sound out there or something. But anyway, they were able to get me in and out very quickly. I've always been very satisfied with them. And when I endorse a company, it's because I actually use them. I use their product. And in this case, I use their service because they're good at what they do. So Jim Woodham, Southside Firestone Tire and Auto Center on the Troy Highway. Anything you need done with your car, big or small, they can usually handle it. You need an oil change, you need new tires, they'll be able to help you out. So go see them on the Troy Highway today. Wisest man that ever lived, Solomon. He wrote some words that I think are incredibly appropriate for this morning. And I'm just going to go straight to the scripture and let it speak for itself. This comes from Ecclesiastes 3:1. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time for hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? I have seen the task which God has given to the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. So why is Solomon saying all this? Why is he saying that these different times occur? I think it's a matter of perspective, isn't it? When we're focused on the eternal, when we're focused on doing what's right, when we're focused on living out God's will, it changes the way we see things. I think that the people of God look at a tragedy like this, and they do see a time of danger, a time of mourning, a time for sadness, and as Solomon would say, weeping. But maybe these times are not so different and not so far apart from the time to heal, the time for recovery, the time for laughter and good things to come. Because having this perspective, having that wisdom, and Solomon's experience of his life, which he's showing here, is that those dark times do come, but the good times come too. So obviously, we're upset by what happened this morning. I mean, this was an attack on America. There's not another way to put it. Because it was a representative that was shot at a baseball game, which is about as American as it gets. This was an elected official going out there to watch and play baseball. But you know what else? It's also an attack on us because the guy was an American citizen. He's one of our own. And it was also an attack on the police officers that had to throw themselves in harm's way and fight the guy off just to keep other people safe. And it was an attack on the guy's aide who's, I mean, he's a government employee, but he doesn't technically hold office. He's basically a private citizen. So in a sense, this was an attack on all of us. It's an attack on our culture and our beliefs that even if you disagree with somebody, you don't bring harm to them. And so because of that, it's understandable that people are upset about this. They're supposed to be. I think that, honestly, there's a little bit of you that I would be concerned about if you're not upset by something like this. But at the same time, it's important for us to remember that even in dark, confusing, and dangerous times that we find ourselves in like today, for every time like that, Solomon is telling us, because he has the wisdom and the perspective of the eternal, there's also a time for laughter and joy, being with your family, enjoying the blessings that you have, taking a quiet moment of rest and peace. So in that, understanding all of those things, it helps us through those dark times. Because we know, as bad as they are, there are good times to come through these. I don't know what's going to happen as a result of this attack. I can predict, and I think with some accuracy, that people will try to use it to push forward their political agendas. They're going to use it as a rallying cry. Some people are. But you know what? I think there's going to be an awful lot of people that rally around this that say, look, Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter. This is wrong. And maybe that's really the purpose of something like this. That as horrible as it is, there are going to be some people that take a look at it, change their perspective a little bit. Maybe it'll even bring some of us together. I hope that that's the case. And if it does, I hope that we can focus on that a little bit. Stay the course, friends. Doing better on your own, so don't buy in. Live right now. Yeah, just be yourself. It doesn't matter if it's good enough. The Patriot Preacher on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com.